Good morning, and thank you for sticking around to the last day. What I would like to talk about is kind of a continuation of what Christian just talked about, and more specifically on the idea of using these grasses for renovation of existing turf stands. But before I do that, let me explain a little bit about what they are in case you missed the presentation yesterday by Jonathan Schnorr. These are grasses, two ryegrass varieties that we selected by traditional plant breeding. They are not genetically modified organisms that we characterized where the resistance, the tolerance to glyphosate was coming from in the laboratory. We took a look at the EPSPS gene and found two SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphisms, that indicate why these have resistance to glyphosate. What we found is one of the SNPs was associated with a gene mutation that also occurred in Salmonella and was not lethal. The other one was found in the literature, was supposedly lethal, but it seems to do all right in this variety of perennial ryegrass. The advantage of having a non-GMO herbicide tolerant grass is that it doesn't have to go through an APHIS review. The disadvantage, of course, is that it has a promoter that is a natural product and is not something like the cauliflower mosaic virus that is on 24/7 on full blast, providing the plant with this new genetic material. So it has some touchiness, as Christian had alluded to. We don't have complete control over having total year-round efficacy of this and safety. So we have to adhere to what Christian was talking about in terms of times of year and times of growth habit that we need to apply the herbicide. Those of you from Canada are probably wondering, do you have access to this product in Canada? Actually, Canada has a different labeling and approval process and probably will not see this product in Canada due to the fact that it is treated as a GMO in Canada, even though it is not a GMO. It is a herbicide-tolerant grass. So what I'd like to share with you this morning is the results of two studies. The first one I would consider more to be a demonstration study. The second one is a traditional randomized complete block with replications, et cetera, that go along the lines of using these grasses for turf grass renovation. In other words, a golf course that wants to convert from existing turf to something better using these grasses that have a unique trait of glyphosate tolerance. So those of you that have been coming to the ITRC or ASA for a number of years may remember this paper by Van Wyk from 1989 that was kind of a cornerstone paper. When I was sitting in this session listening to this paper, I looked around and saw about a dozen plant breeders writing furious notes about the fact that they found some glyphosate tolerance in two fine fescues, Manor, which was a minor player in fine fescues. The Waldina was actually used quite a bit until, I think, in the last few years. And both of these were bred through four cycles of recurrent selection for glyphosate tolerance and had some enhanced levels of glyphosate tolerance. And the authors speculated these might be useful, particularly in seed fields where they would be applied with glyphosate to minimize the seed field weeds. This went on to provide some good fodder for other plant breeders, and if you've ever sprayed out a fine fescue test, you've probably seen this happen. This is just a normal fine fescue test sprayed with glyphosate, and if you zero in on some of the plots, you can see that the reason why plant breeders get excited about this is there is natural resistance, particularly in the fine fescues, to glyphosate, and it's fairly easy to select for it. As you can see in the close-up here, we've already taken some plugs out of these fine fescues and tried to enhance their glyphosate tolerance. The trouble with the fine fescues, though, is they don't seem to have the mutations in the EPSPS gene like the ryegrass did and was found to have. And so they have moderate levels in the realm of 2 to 6 fluid ounces of Roundup per acre. And this is not per 1,000 square feet, it's per acre. So they don't have quite the tolerance we need for good control of weeds. Crystal, who was just asking a question, was a pioneer in the glyphosate-tolerant grasses with her Aurora Gold, which came out in 1999. and had 85% control of Poania and 90% control of annual ryegrass, according to some of the publications on that variety. And again, these benefits hopefully trickle down to the turf consumer who is buying the seed and hopefully will have a more pure stand as a result. The varieties I'd like to talk about this morning are ryegrass varieties, and here is kind of the what I call the money shot. This is a seed production field where these have been treated with glyphosate at 16 fluid ounces per acre. And you can see it's selectively removing the Poania out of the stand. Also, what you don't see is it's also removing the previous crop. And it's removing any ryegrass that had been there in the past and was reoccurring due to either shattering and regrowing or from existing plants. And so you're able to clean up a field much better with these types of grasses than you would be with traditional turf grasses. So this is why they have a particular excitement to the seed grower as well as to the consumer on a golf course or sports field. So the first study was done by a golf course superintendent in central Wisconsin. It was done along with one of our salesmen who happened to be nearby and applied on the golf course fairway in strips across the fairway of predominantly poa and crabgrass. Not a very attractive low-budget golf course, but a good place to try a trial like this. The strips, as you can see here on the, there's my mouse. On this side, you can see the dots for the different strips. He tried several rates of Roundup, also several timings. But what I'd like to summarize is on August 2nd, 2010, they scalped in here, cut very low to open up the stand, seeded with the variety Replay using a Turfco slit seeder, which does a very nice job of installing the seed, and then came back about 2 weeks later and applied glyphosate over the top. This was a post-application of glyphosate and seemed to do a good job at controlling the existing stand. And I don't really need to show you any data on this. As you can see, the strips that were applied with the glyphosate and the ryegrass came through with very high percentages of ryegrass in there, almost no return of the Poania or crabgrass. This investigator, the golf course superintendent, went on to also seed in some Kentucky bluegrass into this stand to hope to get some more permanent turf, because in central Wisconsin, an application of ryegrass is kind of iffy in terms of getting through the winter. The second study I'd like to share with you is one that was done at the Coeur d'Alene Resort Golf Course in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is the site of the famous floating green, which is in the background behind those trees. The reason we chose this course is because they have a history of overwatering, and they started out with fairways that were Penn Eagle and roughs that were Kentucky bluegrass, and ended up basically with roughs that were Poania and Penn Eagle, and very unattractive, very hard to manage, and what they wanted to do is transition them to perennial ryegrass. And so this was a study to look at how to transition them to perennial ryegrass. And that's a picture in the background of Jamie Meyer, who is the technician on this study and really is the one that's credited with doing most of the actual hard work. So this is the site, which was in the rough, mowed at about 2 inches, and the treatments were made on this particular site. The purpose of this study was to find a renovation program to convert from existing turf using the Replay variety, which is one of the two Gly-Rye varieties, to ryegrass. And from all intents and purposes, this looks like a normal ryegrass. It acts like a normal ryegrass. The only thing that it has different than other ryegrasses is the fact that it has glyphosate tolerance up to certain levels. The entire area was seeded on the 23rd of June 2010 at about 10 pounds of seed per 1,000 square feet. And glyphosate was applied at four different rates, including an untreated check, to take a look at the rates that are necessary to do this. We looked at a program approach to this, which basically looked at Roundup timing. In other words, were we applying the glyphosate before the seed was put down or after the seed was put down? And also, was there an advantage to coming back 3 weeks after seeding to do a repeat seeding, again at 10 pounds per 1,000? Would that have any advantage in your stand? So the first program was glyphosate 3 weeks after seeding, reseeding again at 3 weeks, and of course there's a glyphosate application involved there too. Program two would be applying the glyphosate 5 days before seeding, and then coming back with another application, a second application of glyphosate after seeding at 3 weeks, and reseeding. This would be the combination of everything. Three more programs that included just variations of that same theme, either seeding before, seeding after, either spraying before or spraying after seeding, or seeding twice. So we had five different basic programs in here. This is the day of seeding. You can also already see some application of glyphosate had taken place, and it's starting to turn the colors, the turf colors out there already at the day of seeding. So the turf area was scalped to remove the existing vegetation. We ran over with a vertical mower to bring up some of the vegetative material to be able to install the seed. This was raked off on the 23rd of June. The entire area was seeded at once since everything had the same seeding treatment. This is a randomized complete block design, three replications. This is 9 days after seeding, and you can see the different blocks of ryegrass coming up, and some of them coming up with glyphosate already applied on them. Some of them haven't had glyphosate at that point. So the existing stand was actually recovering at that point and needed some more herbicide to put it to rest. And 30 days after seeding, you can see most of the treatments are ready for a mow at this point, and probably a little overdue for a mow at this point. In terms of the data from this experiment, on the bottom x-axis we have the rates of kilograms acid equivalent per hectare, going from zero up to the recommended rate, which is 0.29. This is the overlap rate. And what we can see, basically, this is the glyphosate interval. The lower two rates of glyphosate really didn't have much effectiveness in reducing or improving the stand of ryegrass, reducing the existing turf. And basically what you see is the 3 week after seeding did as well as the combination product, which was, or the combination treatment, which was 5 days before seeding and 3 weeks after. So in essence, the before seeding application of glyphosate did very little, if any, good. We're really looking at the effect of the after seeding spraying that is the one that had the effectiveness. In terms of seeding once versus seeding twice, again, the low rates of glyphosate did very little good in terms of increasing the amount of perennial ryegrass in the stand. And what we're seeing basically is seeding once was just about as effective as seeding twice. Maybe had a 10% increase from that extra seed, but that seems to be quite expensive for just 10% greater seed. The reason this is 50% numbers is these are average across the different rates and timings. So there looks slightly lower on this graph. The best treatments in this experiment had about 70% coverage of perennial ryegrass versus 0% when the experiment started. And this is the experiment when the superintendent came back and said, let's see if we can put on an additional treatment of glyphosate to thicken up the stand. And so they put out some extra treatments, as you can see there, and actually produced a stand that was pure ryegrass, as you can see in these plots in the foreground, by putting on an additional treatment about a month after seeding. So in the future, the superintendent wants to do some more renovation. We're going to do some more experimentation on this to see what we can do to fine-tune these with additional applications. We've also looked at pre-emergence herbicides for this application, coupled with a glyphosate application. That seems to have some successful possibilities, and he plans to start renovating as a result and getting these grasses that ordinarily would have a lot of trouble getting in if they just had no glyphosate tolerance. So in conclusion, the glyphosate applied pre-scalping did little good to minimize the existing vegetation. The middle and high rates provided 70% control of the existing grasses with one application and 100% if you had two applications. And the repeated seedings had very little good, if any, to improve the stand beyond an additional 5 or 10%. And as Christian was talking about, the precautions of not applying during cold weather or during the four-leaf stage of seedling maturation is things to be avoided in this. And remember that not all plants are glyphosate susceptible. So we're not creating super weeds when we go out and spray glyphosate and end up with something like this with white clover being able to survive through this application of glyphosate. If you have an interest in these grasses, we are giving them out for free to experimenters who want to try to use them. Here's my web address, so you can contact me if you'd like to try some or if you'd like more information. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's hold questions. Let's make our speaker.